Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning. Several announcements, and then we'll get to prayer requests. And first announcement is that those who read through the Bible this past year, and I've got a list. If you're not on the list, I send it to everyone on the email. So please don't be bashful. If you did, I want you on this list. We are looking to go to a lunch, Maitri, on Sunday the 12th of February, right after church. I've talked to several. That seems to be a good date. Let me know if you are on that list and you know if you did or not. If Sunday, February the 12th would work for lunch, send me a text, an email, and we'll go from there. Also, don't forget that when you come down after receiving communion and you come to the front to pray, it's a great opportunity that you have to minister to people that you know that might be hurting in one way or the other. And that is that when you come down, lift them up in prayer. Then you can send them, we have them here already, just take one, sign it, and send it to the person you prayed and just basically said, I prayed for you today at church. And in this day of high-tech communication, getting a handwritten letter, letting someone know that you lifted them up in prayer can be very encouraging to them. Also, don't forget the boxes, tubs will be out every Sunday for the things we're collecting each month for the Christmas box. Webb, anything more about that?
Just the fact that I keep forgetting to bring those tubs. I'll bring them.
Oh, they're here.
I know you bought a couple. I was going to bring some too. But thank you for that.
I guess you had your mind on something else when you were at Cancun for a week or whatever.
My mind's still there.
Your mind's still there, okay. So we have that. And then I have a couple prayer requests, but any other announcements? Any announcements? Okay, let's move to prayer requests. And one is an announcement and also a praise. It says in the scripture, it's appointed unto humans to enjoy 70 years, which is 70 years. So if you're above 70, you have you are truly blessed. It goes on to say, and by reason of strength, some reach 80. This past week, Larry Shepley, with his virile strength, reached 80. But I got to tell you, before you clap too loudly, there's one that beat you. There's one that today is 91. And Ms. Wetzel, we would like to just celebrate God's blessings and goodness in your life. So if you reach 80 by strength, I guess you just reached 91 by just... hanging in there. Continue breathing. That's the best advice we can give. So we celebrate all of you, and it is a praise for all of you. Any other joys or concerns that anyone would like to share this morning?
David will be 80 on Tuesday.
David will be 80 this coming Tuesday. Well, he had forgotten, hadn't he?
It is what it is.
Sure. Mother wants to sing to the three of them. Yes, Webb?
Keep Carrie's mom Darby in prayer. She's got a checkup Tuesday to see if she's still cancer free or not.
All right. You know what time it is Tuesday?
2 o'clock, I think.
Right. Let's remember Darby, as she is having a checkup this Tuesday around 2 to make sure she's still clear of cancer. So we let her know we're praying. Tricia.
Joan Rosine is having eye surgery on Tuesday in Charlottesville.
Also on Tuesday, Joan Rosine is having eye surgery at
in
Charlottesville on Tuesday. Let's keep Joan in our prayers. Yvette, yes.
Yeah, Yvette, her AFib has slowed down on Monday, but she's had a little bit of difficulty breathing on Tuesday, so just continue praying for her, and she's taking some new medication. And she wanted to tell everybody thank you all for your prayers.
And she has a real desire to get back to church, so let's keep Yvette Clark in our prayers. She's back in rhythm, but still having some breathing issues. Yes, sir.
Helen is in remission. She did not have to have her last treatment, chemo treatment, and she rang the bell. But we want to keep her continuing.
Amen. Well, it's wonderful that Helen Kinzer is now cancer-free and in remission. So we're grateful for that. Praise God for that. Andrew, did I see your hand?
Yeah, so just keep praying for the people in Moldova. Still, the war rages on. I'll go in there a little bit in February, and so I'll hopefully get a report. But they're so appreciative of the support that we give to them, and continue to pray for our sisters and brothers over there in Moldova.
Now, is this the last Sunday we'll see you?
Yes.
Okay, so Andy will be gone for a little more than a month as he travels there, so let's continue to keep Andy in prayer, and let Ann know anything she needs to reach out while you're gone. Any care?
My niece has a dear friend that she turned out with female divorce. She's expected to have a baby in February, but she went to the UVA yesterday. We can just continue to lift her up in prayer. Her husband and the baby as well.
So Danielle Dorsett is having a baby in February, but we want.
There's 15 from several complications. We'll just keep praying for her.
We will keep Danielle in our prayers and her family, her husband and child. Is it a boy or a girl? She said.
A little girl, Paisley.
Thank you. Any others? Yes, like Brandon.
Unspoken.
Okay. Let's keep Brandon with an unspoken in our prayers. Thank you for sharing. I saw another hand. Yes, Patty?
I appreciate you all keeping Quinn in your prayers. It's been difficult, and I haven't shared with many, but she had a relapse. Her medication was changed, and she's in a mental health facility. Hopefully, to get back, but it's been hard to talk about, and I appreciate your prayers.
Let Gwen know we're praying, and please just keep Gwen and Patty in our prayers. Katie.
One of my dear neighbors, Sheriff, this week was having trouble breathing, and he's always been very active, much younger than I am, and he had multiple clots in his lungs.
So let's keep Katie's neighbor, Joe, in our prayers as he has multiple clots in his lungs. We certainly will. Any others? We will lift them up this morning. And this would be a great opportunity for if you are impressed to pray for any in particular, send them a note, let them know you're praying. It really could make their day and just encourage them. As we truly, if you think about it, we gather to worship Christ, and He helps us. And we just, I often think what we're doing, we're just helping each other walk home, aren't we? And sometimes the journey is a little harder than others, and we're just helping each walk this journey. So let's be kind and compassionate, prayerful, and just encourage people. So let's pray together, and then we'll enter into worship. Our gracious Holy God, we just thank you that you uphold us. We're so grateful that you didn't come and give us one more system, one more set of rules or steps, some complicated or even simple plan of things we needed to do in order to gain favor with the Almighty. We're grateful that because we have eternal favor from the Almighty. You did it for us. And you came and offered it as a gift of your love. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's offered to us all. And we simply need to say thank you and cling to it as the truth. We're grateful that your love and grace extends to each individual without measure, without any type of partiality. In this world where everything seems to be meted out according to some matrix, we're grateful that yours is just unlimited, for it isn't determined by who we are, it's determined by who you are. And that is why we are eternally joyful. We gather today for worship, and we gather as a family. And as a family, we have many that we are concerned about. We thank you for your work in each one. We pray that you'd be with Darby on Tuesday. We pray that she would get a clear and clean bill, free again of cancer. We pray as well on Tuesday for Joan's, Rosine's surgery on her eye. We pray that it would go well, there would be no complications, and her recovery would be full. We pray that you'll continue to be with Yvette. Just thank you that she's back in rhythm, but now be with her breathing concerns. Just bless her and encourage her. We give you thanks so much and are so grateful for Helen being in remission. We pray that you'll continue to bless her and Davey and all the family, and we give you thanks. We pray that you continue to be with Joe with these clots in his lungs, and we just pray that you will bring peace and healing to him and encourage him. We pray that you would be with Danielle and her husband as they are excited, as parents are, with the upcoming birth of their daughter. But in the face of these complications, we just pray that you'll encourage them, help them to be reminded and encouraged by the fact that you are the sovereign God, and these complications didn't take you by surprise. You have not brought us this far to leave us. You do not teach us to swim so that we would drown. But you walk with us through it all. And I pray that you would encourage Danielle as they are approaching this birth in February. We pray that you'd be with Gwen. We thank you for her heart, her life. What a resilient young woman now she is and has been for many years. I pray that you'll continue to lead all those making decisions for her care, that it will all come together and be beneficial as Gwen continues to make choices and decisions that are the most conducive for her enjoying the life you've given her. I pray that you'd be with Brandon, the unspoken that he has, and be with the unspoken or unvoiced concern that we offer to you at this time. We thank you for your watch care. You know our hearts, and you attend to those things we're concerned about. We pray your blessings upon Andy as he travels. We pray that he'll be able to minister in a country where there's been so much conflict, difficulties. May he be an instrument of your peace. Give safety to him and any others on the team as they travel. And we pray that you'd be with Anne as she's here, that you will comfort and strengthen her. We thank you for the life you've given us. And as we have recognized those that have had recent birthdays of Larry and Dave and Tom and Mamie, we just thank you for the life you've given us. Each day is a gift. Now may on this day, we out of joy say thank you in a worship of praise to the one who is the source of every good gift. For all these things and so many more, we give you thanks through the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather to worship, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy,
blot out our transgressions.
Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and
uphold
us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the interior. We will use the full reading of 14 verses, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing, "Here I Am, Lord," hymn 44. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, it was they, my foes, and my adversaries, who stumbled in battle.
Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid.
And though the Lord should rise against me, yet I will put my trust in him.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to see him in his temple.
For in the days of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head above my enemies around about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. You speak in my heart and say, "Seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I see."
Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant into displeasure.
You have been my helper. Cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God, of my salvation.
Will my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will sustain me.
Thank you.
reading comes from Isaiah 9, 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on as on the day of Midian. Word of the Lord. second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 18. I appeal to you, my brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by close people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach. saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. We hear things in Scripture that, if we're honest, just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of importance. We hear about names that we have no knowledge of. Zebulun and Naphtali, and we see it in Isaiah, we see it in the Matthew, and we wonder, or if we're honest, we say, so what? You probably have lived most of your life not really thinking about Naphtali or Zebulun, and what does it have to do with me? Well, as good Americans, it probably should have a lot to do with us. I want to look at two events that I think will show that we're just the same type of people that they were. Now, very few of you remember this, though, since we celebrated some birthdays. One or two may remember it. But on October the 30th, 1938, a radio program on Mercury Theater was read by one of my favorite people, Orson Welles. We're simply reading a book by someone not related, H.G. Wells, not even spelled the same, called The War of the Worlds. And if you have read, you know that the whole North American states went crazy. Within 2.5 weeks, there were 12,500 articles written about what happened that night. And the big concern was we were going to be invaded. The Martians were here, and they were invading us. Well, they were really primitive people back in 1938, weren't they? We wouldn't be so naive. We're far more sophisticated. We learned our lessons. Well, we really didn't, because in 1956, and some of you may have been alive then, it wasn't a radio program, but they put together a movie that was done quick and cheap. They filmed it in 20 days and only used about $325,000, using quite unknown actors and actresses. But within 1 week, it made $1 million. Within the end of the year, it made set records of being more than $3 million. It's in the top 10 of many movie critics' list, and it scores 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it was a movie entitled The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Somehow, again, we thought we were going to be invaded. But that was 1956. We don't think that way anymore, do we? We're more sophisticated. We've grown up. We don't believe that we're going to be invaded. Well, then something like the pandemic comes along. And we, out of fear, sort of rearrange much. And we still don't know what to do. And the truth of the gospel is, the truth of life is, whether it was Isaiah's day or Matthew's day or 1938 or 1956 or today, the truth of the matter is, you are going to be invaded. You are going to be invaded. I mean that in the way that Mark Twain spoke of his life. As he was an older man, he said that my life has been full of hardships and troubles and difficulties, 98% of which never happened outside of my thinking. See, the people that we read about in Isaiah, they had been taken by the Assyrians in 732. They were fearful now. We don't know what will happen. And that's the reason why we allow our minds to worry so much. And that's the reason why we get so beside ourselves, is because it happens occasionally, we tend to think it's always going to happen. Because we occasionally read of an airplane that falls, we then think, well, I must be fearful because it's going to happen again with me. And the truth of the matter is, this fear saps the joy and the confidence that God wants us to live life. I read again, and maybe you did too, because it sort of made the circles, of a piece that C.S. Lewis wrote in 1948. It was technically after the close of the Second World War, but people living on the British Isle had suffered a great deal, and they had had their lives totally changed by never knowing when a bomb would fall, when there would be an attack. And they walked around with anxiety, and they were nervous, and no one wanted to go back to normal or resume their daily lives, because we never knew when it would happen again. Another outbreak may happen. Another bomb may fall. I may get fired again. The relationship may not work. That business deal might go belly up. It did before. How do I know I won't this time? Trying to reach out to my neighbor and establish a relationship. Got rebuked last time. How do I know it won't happen again? And we can become fear-based because we're fearful of these constant invasions. And this is what Lewis wrote in 1948. It's entitled On Living in the Atomic Age. And I think it's good advice if we're living in the fear of nuclear bombs dropping. But I think it's just good advice for Christian people who have a Heavenly Father to adopt in all of life. And this is what it's, one paragraph of that, of Lewis. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over our pint, playing a game of darts. Let it find us doing these normal and humane things, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, but a microbe can do that. But they have no power to dominate our minds unless we choose to allow it. Brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel. And it goes back to the first commandment. What was the first commandment? That I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. What is the greatest sin in Old and New Testament? Idolatry. To worship, or if you allow me to put it in context, to focus, to obsessively think and adore and focus upon anything other than the Lord God who loves you and gave himself for you. See, we often think that God is some petty, insecure being when it says he's a jealous God. I mean, none of us would like any one of us say, well, if you're going to be my friend, I don't want you to be anyone else's friend. No one would want to be connected with someone who demanded that we keep our focus on them. But when God does it, it's not because he's insecure and jealous. Even though the word is used, it's used in a theological way. It's that he knows that our lives follow and become that which we value and worship. And we are to worship only the one who is worthy, for that's what the word worship actually comes from, is to give the worth-ship. Only God is worthy of our obsessive focus. These possible invaders, whether they're from Mars, China, Naphtali, Zebulun, wherever your company headquarters is, these perceived threats are not worthy of our worship. And when we do that, we not only are violating the command to worship God alone, if we're honest, we know it kills our peace, doesn't it? It kills our peace. I know several of you who have given up watching the news or looking at newscasts. And you know what? Each person who's told me they've sworn off looking at the news has done, they've all reported to me they've got greater peace. They've got greater joy. Have things changed on the outside? Is the world just as crazy and nutty as it always been? Yes, but they're no longer worshiping it or focusing upon it. You may not be able to control who walks through your door, but it is your right and responsibility to choose which window to throw them out if they are destroying the peace that God has given to you. And this is what Matthew says. Do you see the connection, or did you listen to the connection between the reading of Isaiah and the reading in Matthew? We're told that there is going to be, unlike these fearful lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, that we're looking for a land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. It's not coincidental or just for fodder that when Matthew tells the story of Christ, the very first verse says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. He is the man of Galilee, and he comes. Unlike the Assyrians, they promised. You can go and read in 1 Kings and other places, especially in Jeroboam, who was advised after his dad died and he became king, why don't you ease up on the people? Why don't you just make things more humane for them? You remember what Jeroboam told him? My little finger will be heavier than my father's leg was. I'm going to make it harder. I'm going to make it more difficult. And sometimes we find ourselves fearful of and obsessed by those voices that seek to make our lives more difficult. Somehow we can even slip into a Christian neurosis and think it must be more Christian if it's more difficult. If the demands are more uncomfortable, if it's more difficult, it must be more holy. Well, can I offer good news to you? The other one who wants to invade our life said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. So we try to convince ourselves that the false gods that we are obsessed by are the true God. There's a little phrase that I'd like to close with that you really probably didn't put much stock in because you need to sort of know the rest of the story. If you look at the final phrase of the Isaiah reading, and it says, "You have broken as one on the days of Midian." Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, what it means is, it's making reference, and the people schooled in the Old Testament would know it. It makes reference to one that we know because he's got his name on a lot of books in hotels and hospitals around the world. His name is Gideon. And Gideon was one that served during this time. And if you have your Bible, if not, you can listen. Turn to Judges, the 6th chapter. And we'll close by looking at what we're being told in saying that it was like on the day of Midian. Midian were those that were oppressing Israel. They were one of those invaders that captured everyone's waking moment. They would have been the ones making the headlines on all the newscasts because Midian was threatening the people of God. And I'll cut out some of the reading. Gideon, just to trust me on this, or you can read it on your own. Gideon was fairly much of a coward. And when God found him, he was hiding, threshing wheat in a wine pit. In other words, he was just hiding. And he didn't have a whole lot of courage. But he learned in a hard way, a good way, what to do. God told him what to do. And if you remember, and I'll skip over this for time, he didn't take God at his word. He said, "I'll give a fleece." And he did it in two different ways. And it was just to verify what God had already told him. It would have been much easier had Gideon, like the Virgin Mary, just said from the beginning, "Do it unto me according to your word." But he needed some verification. Well, God graciously accommodates us in our weakness and insecurity. So he gave Gideon a couple buys and strengthened his faith. But then it comes down to Gideon garnering together his battle or his men. Now let me ask you, even if you've never had anything to do with the military, if you go to fight a ferocious enemy, it sort of seems intuitive to me you're going to want more soldiers than less, right? Doesn't peace come through strength? If we have more, won't that be better? Well, we think that way. But unfortunately, Yahweh didn't in dealing with Gideon. Let's, if you'll pick up in Judges 7. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, most people back then had two different names, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, but the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you," i.e. your soldiers, "are too many for me to give the Midians into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." So the picture is, Gideon had arranged 32,000 soldiers. And the powers that be came and made a blanket announcement to all of them. "Any of you who are fearful, any of you who really don't want to go, go on home." And two-thirds of them took them up on it and left. Who do you think at this point is the most fearful person in the picture? Gideon. I can just imagine if he didn't verbalize it, he's saying, to himself, God, what are you doing? It took me time and energy to secure this, and I did it for your glory. And I've tried my hardest to get as many people as I could, and we really had a fighting chance, and now, what are you doing this for? You took away from me what I needed. That was my security. That's what I was trusting in. And you told him to go home? Well, it gets worse, or better. Verse 4. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, you shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. In other words, and this makes some good military sense, anyone that just goes down and puts their head down into the water like a dog, send them home. Because in battle, they're too stupid to fight. Because, I mean, who's going to bow your head and put your face in the water? What you want are the ones wise enough to kneel down, cup the water, and drink it. So that's what it's saying. But let's look at the results in verse 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, verse 6. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest knelt down to drink water. So 9,700 of them drank like dogs. And God said, go home. So I'm not real good at math, but if you've gone from 32,000 to 300, I think you've lost 99%. Is that roughly about right? Have you seen other things fall like that? Maybe your stock market, your retirement, your investment. Do you see other things where it's like God's just taking your friends away? I don't have as many people that support me as I used to. It used to be everybody at the work liked me, and now it's whittled down to maybe one or two, and I'm not so certain about them. What are you doing, Lord? What he's doing to Gideon and what he's doing to us is to remind us that our well-being is not based on how many troops we can assemble, or the size of our bank account, or how many people think we're wonderful. It's also not based on our ability to worry enough that there can't be any outside invader that we didn't think about. He's reminding all of us that our well-being is based on nothing other than where we keep our mind focused. And he'll say this quite explicitly later in Isaiah, when Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in, or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I take God at his word. Regardless of how many invaders, regardless of how much loss, regardless of all the things I could worry about, call me naive, I'm just going to trust that if I keep my mind focused on Yahweh and do the things he's called me to do. You can't sit at home and pray and twiddle your thumb. I mean, you have to work. You have to do. But in the doing, we'll be in perfect peace. Let me close with a commentary on that Isaiah 26 verse. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee. It's one of my favorite hymns, but it's not in our hymnal. It's by a woman, you know, a hymn of hers. You know the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be? She wrote that and several hundred other hymns. Her name, a British woman, Frances Ridley, I think, Havergal. But she wrote a hymn, a poem put to music called Stayed upon Jehovah. And let me put it in the American. Obsessed with God alone. Like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace, overall victorious in its bright increase, perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand, not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. You've misheard me today if I told you that you trust God and everything's going to just go away. But I'll tell you this. Stay focused upon God. And even in the midst of those persistent problems that never seem to go away, he is faithful. And you can have peace, for he is our Father. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Worthy of praise and thanksgiving are you, Lord God, for you summoned all things into being. And from the beginning you beckoned your creation to the fullness of life in you. Through covenant, you claimed a people to share your life. In slavery, you called them to freedom. In exile, you summoned them to faithfulness. In their sin, you beckoned them towards your light. From the first day until now, you have called creation to share your goodness. In Christ, you came seeking our salvation with your very life, bidding us to come and follow. Our rejection of him led to the horror of the cross. But you have drawn us to yourself forever through the glory of his resurrection. And so with your people on earth and with the company of heaven, we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Sustaining God, in you we become one. You gathered fishermen from their nets to become apostles. Just as you take grain from the fields and grapes from the vine to make this holy meal. Now you gather us around this table to remember the story of our redemption. Your love, your presence, in that make us one body. Sustain us by the grace of the one bread we share and one cup of blessing which we bless, which is truly your Son. Send your Spirit upon this bread and upon this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Generous God, in Christ you threw wide the net of your grace, calling disciples one by one to be your followers, not in their own righteousness, but because you would have us be your companions and share your glory forever. Reveal in your church the wideness of your mercy. Bless those today who wonder if they have strayed too far to be found by you or to belong among your people. Inspire all who struggle to know their purpose in your kingdom and long to hear your voice. Beckon your disciples to come and follow, to work alongside you, casting the net of grace, until all are gathered in and one in you, ever seeking and ever saving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see inscribed before you, as you come forward, you remember from our Lord, you remember from Paul, that this do in remembrance of me. You are coming, understanding that He has called you friends. We sometimes diminish that term and say, well, we're only friends. There's no greater word than we could hear from our Savior when He said, "I no longer call you servants, but you're my friends." He does not begrudgingly save us. He doesn't take care of us because He has to. And there's an argument of greater to lesser. In other words, we see, as Scripture would tell us, how would He who laid down His own life for you not give you all things else? So as you come forward, remember that you are being offered Christ, your friend. And if He laid down His life for you, all else is given to you. And we can look upon His wonderful face alone and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and receive His very body and His blood in remembrance that He died for us, that He lives to sustain us, and that all is well as He carries us home. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
gracious God, we have eaten at your table, and we are completely satisfied. We thank you and ask that you would strengthen us to understand that the one that we have entrusted our eternal well-being to is also completely faithful and trustworthy to put our complete confidence in the living of our days. May we fear no invaders. May we worry not as those that have no Father. But may we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, keep our eyes, our complete focus, stayed on you. May we be God intoxicated, men and women, and trust you, and know in doing that, we will have a peace that passes all understanding, neither given by the world, nor can it be threatened. We accept this through your holy name and gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing together our final hymn. Present you faultless before the throne.
To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.